Amen. Don't forget winter retreat coming up. If you have not signed up and want to go, winter retreat is the sign-up sheet's there. And don't forget, start turning in your fees. Don't get your hands stuck. Registration fee was due last Wednesday, and then the full amount is due coming up shortly. We'll be leaving, I think, the 29th. Getting back on the 1st. Sunday the 1st. Can I get somebody that would like to volunteer to cook me 4 dozen cookies? 4 dozen cookies. I'd like to take them to on Christmas Eve night. Sister Rhonda? Sister Price? Okay. Sister Nelson, that's 3. Sister Lois, that's 4. Yeah, I think we're going to deliver them to a nurse's station on Christmas Eve night somewhere. Go by and just tell them. Maybe go to a fire station and visit with them on Christmas Eve night. Just tell them that we love them here at our church. So if you can bring them to church, no, that's Christmas night. Sunday night, that'd be fine. Sunday night before Christmas. Then a lot of stuff going on this year coming up, so be careful to be in your place. Make sure that you know where you need to be. Something else on my mind. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Oh, Sister Sheila and her family are leaving this week. That's what's on my mind. Y'all get around and talk to Sister Sheila. Been a blessing being around our church. They're moving up into the cold lands of Indiana. So be in prayer for them as they make that move. What a blessing they've been to our church over a couple years here. Well, good to see all y'all. Good crowd on a Wednesday night. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, we'll read verses 1 through 16 and get right into the Word of God. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. Every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head. For that is even all one, as if she were shaven. Verse 6. For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and the glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. Verse 10, for this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also of the woman, but all things of God. Judging yourselves, is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given for her a covering. But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. Now last week we started looking at this disorder in worship, and we started in verse, not last week, week before. We had Thanksgiving service last week, Wednesday night. But the week before that, we looked at verses 1 and 2 about being a follower of someone. As Paul said, be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. And we looked at how important that is, that people follow us and where we're going to lead them. You know, it's important if you want to get to point A to point B that you go the right direction. And so if I'm following somebody that I'm assuming they're going to get me to point A to point B, then I want to make sure that they're following the correct map, you might say, the correct pattern. I was in a convoy one time, probably about 3 o'clock in the morning, and we were following. You have to stay a certain distance apart so you can see the two little lights. If you get too far away, you can't see them. You get too close, they become 4 lights on the back of the vehicle. It was a blackout, this little bitty just glow-in-the-dark stickers that's on the back of the military vehicle. So you have to keep your proper interval, your proper distance. And you're trusting that the one in front of you is keeping his proper distance, proper interval, and the one in front of him, and you're trusting that the one that's leading the convoy, so you're having about 35, 45 vehicles getting from point A to point B, maybe 40 miles away, and we were in the desert, and we were going, and about the 7th vehicle in lost his distance. Well, he didn't know where we was going. Instead of stopping, he just kept driving. What did the rest of us do? We kept our intervals. We're thinking we're on the longest convoy in the world. Is the end of the desert even coming close? I mean, he just went and went and went. When daybreak broke, we were 79 miles away from where we were supposed to be in the desert. That's what happens. Be ye followers of me, even as I'm also of Christ. If we follow people, we better know they're in Christ. Because I'm telling you, 2 inches right here is not a great distance. Once you go 72 miles out there going in that split distance, I'm telling you, it gets great and vast. So Paul talked about how important it was in this here disorder of worship in the church there at Corinth and began to deal with that. And it starts with making sure we're following people who are in Christ. You know, and so we need to make sure we have a good understanding of that. That, you know, no matter how many people we think are behind us, one is important to God. He left the 99 and went after one, didn't we? Just that Sunday morning. One is important to God. If we lead one astray, that's too many. If we lead one person astray, but you know well as I do, if I've led one astray, how many more that I don't know about that I'm leading astray? So it's important. Paul said, listen, there's disorder in the worship service here because we're not following in the footsteps of Christ. And they began to deal with it and talk about women in worship service and the headship of God's order there in verse number 3. But if I would have you to know that the head of every man is Christ and the head of the woman is man and the head of Christ is God. When we get those things out of order, dear friend, I'm going to tell you, we get contrary to God. Ladies, you have a blessed place. I mean a blessed place. Don't let this world for one moment rob you of the blessed place which you have. I mean, God has blessed you with protection. Because when the household don't go right, ladies, you're good to go. The man is going to answer for it. Oh, preacher, we live in 2013 and it just don't work that way no more. I'm telling you, this Bible, if John 3:16 is right, then 1 Corinthians 11:3 is right. And if either one is wrong, we need to close up shop and we need to go fishing. Because men, we're going to give an account for a lot of stuff that we look to our wife and say, well, you make the decision. You do what you want to do. Because according to this scripture, there were some problems in 1 Corinthians, the church at Corinth. And I'm going to tell you, there's problems in our households today. Ladies, you have a blessed place. You're not less. They talked about ladies having power over their head like as angels. The Bible talks about you being the, you're like the crown of all creation. I mean, God looked out there and it was not complete until He took that rib and made a woman and gave her to Adam. I mean, you're just there. I know, listen, you have to understand the devil's a counterfeiter. And he has got his way in our society for decades now, making ladies feel less than they are. Oh, you're not less. Not less at all. And I'm telling you, when it comes to scriptures like this, they're hard passages. Today, they're hard. But we have to go through them and we have to look at it and say, look, this is God's Word. This is how God meant it. And so this is how it's going to be. In our home, and we're going to submit to God's Word. That's the blessed thing. That's the blessed thing. And when your husband doesn't want to do right, you say, Lord, I love him, I pray for him, and Lord, here he is. You change him. Lord, you touch his heart. Lord, you do something good in his life. So God gives an order of headship there. And in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 22, he says, "And hath put all things under the feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church," talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And then verse number Ephesians 5, 22 and 23 says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as unto the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body." There was disorder there in the church of Corinth. There was a pattern that was leading out from underneath that protective umbrella. If I could give a picture of it, think about it like this, ladies. You have a little bitty umbrella just enough to cover you. Your husband's umbrella is a little bit bigger, and it's over your umbrella, and it's over you. And then Christ's umbrella is bigger than the man's, and the man's is over the man's, and the man's is over you. And then God's is bigger than than Christ, and Christ's umbrella is under him. Look at the protection. It's not about taking rights away from you. It's about protection. I'm not talking about going back where you're not voting. Don't leave the church tonight and go tell the whole world that preacher over at Lock Haven's been gone crazy. He says we need to go back where women ain't voting. They're barefoot and pregnant in the kitchen. Although my wife has looked her best that way. It's not about that. It's about God's pattern. In God's plan, and it's for a perfect order. God's a God of order. A God of order. There. So God deals with the order of headship, and then verse 4, men are not to wear a head covering, and you know, there's a lot of denominations out there that do. I mean, I don't know how you read these scriptures and do it, but they do. I know how they do it. They take tradition over God's Word. They take tradition. They say every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. Who's our head? Christ. It is a picture of what is there. It's all working there. And then verse 5, a woman should have her head covered when she prays or prophesies. She need not to wear a cloth or a covering because her hair is given to her as a covering. Well, how do you know that? Verse 15. But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. And we know there's a lot of denominations out there where the ladies wear the head covering. But then what do you do? What do you do with scriptures like this? You have to say, well, is it tradition or is it how we always done it or is it what God says we should do? Now listen, I'm not saying their head covering's making them demonic at all. Not at all. Some of those denominations that do, where they're very moral, very hardworking, godly, God-professing people. But there we, it leads to something. It leads to a pattern that's it puts you outside that protective realm where you're at. And so the in verse 4, they're not supposed to the man's not supposed to pray with his head covering, but the woman's not to pray with hers uncovered. In verse number 5, the place where a woman can pray and prophesy. What do you mean prophesy? Yeah, talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what I'm talking about. You remember over in the book of Acts, there was a Philip there who had four daughters who prophesied. Y'all remember that? Let's flip over because some of you are looking like you don't remember. Acts 21. We went through the book of Acts verse by verse. I thought they wasn't supposed to have women preachers. You already said that, preacher, when we went through that a while back. I'm not talking about women preachers. Not at all. That's what we try to take verses like this and throw them in and say, see, they prophesied so they can be a preacher. Preaching is proclaiming God's Word. Acts chapter 21, verse number 9, the Bible says, "And the same man to have four daughters, virgins, which did prophesy." And as you read on about that whole scenario there, you know that it does not mention them prophesying over a group of men. Why not? Because in other places in the Bible, 1 Timothy being 1, chapter 2, verse 11, it says that a woman should not usurp the authority of a man there. So that is why. That's why in our businessmen, I know this is going to burn some of you up, and I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just, we follow a biblical pattern. That's why in the business meeting, some of them have asked, "Preacher, why I raised my hand. Why ain't you called upon me to say something?" Is that in the Bible it talks about that. Where? And why? You say, when can I? After church, you can stop, talk, and we'll be flying talk with you. But, I know, but there's women that have big conferences and they talk to all kind of men. Doesn't make it right. Just because the majority does it doesn't make it. Broad is the way. You know, it's not belittling you. It's trying to follow a biblical pattern that's set down in the Scriptures. And when we're following biblical patterns, we can't allow our feelings to dictate what we're going to accept and what we're not going to accept. Verse 5, go back over to verse 5, back in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And, you know, and some preachers, they try to tell you that a woman can't say amen in church. That's not right either. That you've got to keep it in context. You can say, ladies, you can say amen. It's quite all right. You're not usurping authority when you say you're agreeing. When you stand up, we have a moment of testimony. When you stand up and testify, that's an opportunity that you can do that. You're not trying to usurp that authority over somebody. When you're singing in the choir, when you're singing a special, although there are some folks that when they get up here to sing a special, they think they've got to have about 15 minutes of prophesying. That's not the time. The time to prophesy is when the preacher gets up and opens the Word of God. I hope that don't make you mad. But that's just, you know, that's not the time to do it. There is times to do it. Say 5, 6, 7 things and move on. But sometimes I've been in a couple of places where the lady, she did a better job than the man when he got up and preached, to be honest with you. She gave more scripture than him. As a matter of fact, we had one here about four years ago. I was wondering if we was ever going to get a scripture out of him. Just because he calls himself a preacher, don't make himself a preacher. I call myself rich. I've tried to demand it. Go over to CFE before I go in there to the ATM. You are rich. I put the ATM in to check the balance. It says, not so, son. That's what it comes out. Verse number 5, I'm rich in the Lord. Praise God, let that. God takes well care of me. It's that on the other side which we're looking for. Verse 5, let's get back over to Scripture. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered dishonoreth her head, for that is even all done as if she was shaven. For if a woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame of a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. Verse 10, for this cause ought the woman to have power over her head because of the angels. There, nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman. You see there? God said, he wraps it back around. He didn't leave you out. Neither is the man without the woman. Where did I go? I lost my spot. Verse 11. Neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also of the woman, but all things of God. See, we get so fired up before we get to that portion because of what society has told us. You know, when he get down there to verse 9, 10, there and 11, you know what he's saying? You're not less. He's nothing without you. You are his completer. You're helpmeet. You are together in the Lord. You say, well, preacher, what I do if my husband ain't in the Lord? Love him. Pray for him. Mild, meek, and quiet as you can be, and submissive in all ways. Because you never know that your submissive spirit and quiet spirit may not change his heart. So, preacher, I looked at him the other night and I could have told you he was just nigh kin to the devil. So were we all without Christ. So were we all without Christ. Let me tell you, church, we need to be careful. As much as we pray for our widow ladies, widowers, we need to pray for our spiritual widows too. They're dead in trespassing sins if they're not saved. There will be one left in the bed and one taken. We need to be praying just as hard for them as we do the other ones, that the Lord will change that person's heart, whether it be a man or a woman, that they'd get their heart right with God. So, what's the deal with shorn and what's the deal with shaven? If it was shaven, it was done with a razor. It was a shame because back then, that's how they recognized the harlots and the slaves. You go back there and they'd see it. There would be a woman of the night. She'd be shaven and shorn. That's how they recognized them. Cover. This is another preacher. What's long? You can tell that you're a woman. Look at you and tell you're a woman. Now, if you got your head shaved like mine, it's because, you may have been through the hospital and had some sicknesses and medicines have removed it. But shorn and shaven, what do we see society today? You see in ladies, razor blade up, shaved up. Why? The devil's a counterfeiter. That's what it's... it don't have to be down to your feet like, what's that, Tangle? Tangled? Ponzel? You don't have to be walking on it and all that. What is it, Rapunzel? Boys, we're over here preaching now. Who? It's Tangled? Okay. All right, they give me a history on Tangled over here. I knew the boys would know. Well, how'd you know that? Because the Bible says that doth not nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it's a shame unto him? Man ought not to cover his head with cloth or with long hair. Why? Because the Scripture says not to. The Scripture says we're not to do that. We're not to cover that. You know, and verse number 16 is what they always grab. But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom. See, there's no custom that says that you have to have a woman with short hair or a man with a woman with long hair. No, it's not saying that. It says it's settled. The Scriptures have settled it. There's no need to fight about it. There's no custom to, because you argue louder than me or you're contentious and you're louder than me, that you get your way. No, Scripture settles it. Scripture settles it. That's what's important. It's already settled. We don't have a battle of words and fight over this here. We look at Scripture and say, what does Scripture say? Scripture says it. Another thing here, while I'm here, I got 6 minutes. We need to make sure that when we're looking at Scripture, we do not let society dictate to us what Scripture is saying. It's the Holy Spirit of God's job to teach us. That's what's important. But we have to be careful that we don't let the media that we allow pass through us, or you know, whether it be audio or video or whatever, magazines, we cannot allow that to influence us and override Scripture. Not at all, because sometimes we do that, don't we? I've been caught doing it myself until the Holy Spirit of God convicted my heart and said, why are you following that instead of me? And I said, oh Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. So ladies, we're not going back to caveman status. That's not what we're doing. I want you to understand the emphasis here is on the protection that you've been offered by God. Well, I'm just going to keep doing it the way I want. That's clearly you're right. You know, as believers in Christ, we have liberty in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that liberty is living free of guilt and shame. That I can lay my head down at night and say, I've done my dead level best to be a follower of Christ. Isn't it amazing that he would start a chapter like this with Christ as the head, as the pattern, as the way to go? Well, and sometimes men, we just go, I'm doing it how I want to do it. Well, that's okay. You can do it how you want to do it. But understand this, there does come a payday. There comes a day that you have to look God in the and Christ in the face, and you have to give an account of yourself. Yourself. So as we look at Scriptures like this, which are very contrary to society today, you might say, very contrary. I mean, you look at our society and man, life. You look at our commentaries. I got a couple commentaries out today to see, could they give me some help on this hard subject? And you know what they did? They passed through it. I mean, it skipped right on. That those commentaries I have was written back, you know, in the early parts of the century. They're not not a century. This is no last century. What I mean. So can you imagine how? But it doesn't. Listen, another thing. Time does not dictate the relevance of Scripture. God does. He said it's settled in heaven forever. So if when he spoke through the prophet Isaiah, and the prophet Isaiah wrote things down, and Ezekiel and Amos and all those biblical characters, listen, those were more than just farmers and fishermen and kings. They were the pen of God. It was like God took them and wrote, allowing them to have their personality. So when they wrote it, that word is just as powerful today as it was then. When Job was penned, which they say Job is the oldest book of all, it's just as powerful today as when it then. So when we look at it, we say, time doesn't change God's Word. Society, circumstances, tradition doesn't, because not a jot or a tittle will pass away. If God's Word said it, oh, what wonder of wonders to look in there and see a love letter from God for your protection, ladies. And you know what it is for us men? It should bring a little bit of reverence into our heart that, hey, every time I've told my wife, just do what you want, whatever she did, God's going to look at you. You say, well, Lord, it wasn't me. It was that woman that you let me marry. No. You told her to do what she wants, so give an account of it. Well, that's scary. It'd be like you giving your wife, four credit cards and say, go to the mall, do what you want. They're all in your name. And then the next day she turns around and leaves you and every one of them's maxed out. The MasterCard, Visa, Discovery, and all of them come looking. They ain't looking for you. You know, sir, my wife, what would you do? I gave them to her. Whose name's on the contract? Your name. Pay the bill. That makes more sense, don't it? Same way with God. Pay the bill. Let's stand to our feet.